Okay, well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just thank you for another awesome time together with the brothers and sisters all across this land and across the seas, too. Father, we just praise you and glorify you for all that you're going to do tonight. Lord, anoint everybody here with the recall, to recall the things that they wanted to talk about tonight with this curse of unforgiveness. And Father, we just praise you and we glorify you for all that's going to be accomplished tonight. Fill us up, Lord, with your Holy Spirit. There ain't nothing left but you, Lord. Just fill us up so much so that there's no darkness left. It's all Jesus. And we praise you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, for all of our brothers and sisters that are in here tonight. Let this be a blessing to everybody. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, before we get started, let's see if anybody's got any prayer requests. Yeah, Julie.
I would like prayer. I didn't injure myself, but for the last couple of days I've had pain, somewhat painful, just more of a stiffness and just something going on in my left elbow. And when I go for walks, I get shin splints and pain in my right leg and foot. So pain in my foot, shin splints in my right leg, and some stiffness and pain in my left elbow. And I don't know that if it's just not a trial or if it's witchcraft or what it is, but I don't want any of it. And I would just like some prayer for healing for all those joint
okay.
issues that I've been experiencing. And that's you know, there's been other things too, I guess, the enemy, I don't know, just getting hit with all kinds of joint issues. So just cover them all.
All right. We can do that. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, I lift up my sister Julie, and I thank you, Father, that you have given us authority over all, I'm talking about all the power of the enemy. And in the name of Jesus right now, we cast down any kind of curses that have been spoken against you right now. It's in the back where they came from. We bind up the spirit of infirmity in her joints and command it to go. In Jesus' name, and we thank you, Father, that they're all healed, delivered, and set free. We command the pain to go out of them in Jesus' name. We command all of the cartilages and whatever else is in there to be healed. And we thank you for it, Father. Every cell in her body, every organ in her body, every joint in her body, be healed right now in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And we thank you, Father, that Julie is completely healed by the stripes of Jesus and the blood that he shed on the cross for all of us. In Jesus' name. You believe that, Julie?
Absolutely. Praise God.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, that Julie's healed. Praise you, Father, for her healing. In
Hallelujah.
Jesus' name.
You're awesome, God.
Amen.
Praise you, Lord. Thank
yes,
you, Jesus.
You are. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Shalamote King. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father. Glory. Hallelujah. Yeah.
Thank you, brother. Thank you all.
Okay. All right. Who's next? Anybody else? How about a testimony? Yeah, Missy.
Actually, I decided that I'd like some prayer, and then I'd like to give a testimony or just tell about the funeral. Anyway, Merle and I were working on doing something today, and I just from doing that and I just feel like I'm so out of whack from being gone for 4 days and not even getting out and walking and just sitting all the time. And it's just like, that's not me, you know? And I just feel like I'm so out of whack and my muscles are just tense all over my back and my arms and my legs. And it's like, I just feel really tired. And I just would like prayer for that. And it just seems like here for a while, like my energy is down. It's not what it used to be. And okay. I've been praying. And
we're going to take care of it all right now. In Jesus' name, I want you to raise your hands because God's fixing to fill you up, girl. Mm-hmm. Yeah, in the name of Jesus, right now, we ask, Lord, that you fill up Missy from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet. And back up again and outflowing over everybody when she gets through. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Father, that every form of tiredness, energy come back, tiredness go. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for your supernatural energy that you are infusing into her body right now because the Holy Spirit is filling her completely up with his Spirit, Lord. She needs a fresh infilling, and I thank you, Father, that she's receiving that now in Jesus' name. And everybody else that's got their hands raised, they got their funnel open, be refreshed by the Spirit of God. And we praise you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord, that Missy is back in your stead. Not only that, that all of this confusion, whatever it is gone in Jesus' name. We command those hindering spirits from her right now in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, that the Holy Spirit has already eased them out and she's filled with your Holy Spirit, Lord. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Thank you, Father. We praise you, Father, for what you're doing right now, and everybody that wants it, that wants to receive the Spirit of God. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Ooh, my, 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 my. We thank you, Father, for your presence. Thank you, Lord.
Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for bearing it all and taking all this muscle.
Amen.
And go and just relax. Relaxed muscles in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Praise
you. Yeah, we command those muscles to be relaxed right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, that Missy is laxed out best she can right now. She relaxed plumb out in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Praise you,
Amen.
Jesus. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Feel better already.
Boy, I'll tell you what, I do too. I feel real good.
Jesus.
Amen. Well, we had a good last night. Mm. My, 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 my. Y'all should have been there. Glory to God. Yeah, Julie. Oh, was you swatting flies or something?
No, I was just like, yeah, I should have been there. Why wasn't I there?
Yeah. Yeah, Joe, go ahead.
I could use some prayer, and well, I figure I would make it for anybody else who would like to, you know, who could use it too, and who really maybe won't speak up, you know, or doesn't want to. But well, I've been getting hit hard this week. I mean, basically concerning the study, because I mean, I need it, you know. I mean, it's been the unforgiveness, a temptation for many years for me, and just I mean, I know all about it, so it's. The enemy was hitting me hard with just spirits of discouragement, depression these last couple of days, and over the weekend I had some other things. But I just, you know, and I even want to just pray for others, you know, who would benefit from this, you know, who are struggling, or just, and, you know, I mean, it's not just those who are needing it, who struggle, who are tempted, you know, in this area, or just, but just for everybody, just you know, maybe a prayer for everybody, just to. Benefit from it, you know, not because I guess I've, you know, the enemy's kind of discouraging me, trying to discourage me and throw me off out of whack, you know. My feelings are kind of mixed about pursuing it, you know, and I know that's all the enemy, but so I could personally use some prayer. But yeah, I just want to lift everybody else up too, who would need the same kind of prayer. Yeah,
Well, I'll pray for everybody, Amen. But I'll pray for you specifically first.
Yeah.
Father, sure. In the name of Jesus, we command those tormenting spirits off of Joe.
Yeah.
We command clarity of thought. We command confusion to go. We command all kinds of anger, bitterness, rejection, all of that to go from Joe right now in the name of Jesus. As a matter of fact, we bind up every tormenting spirit that torments him right now in Jesus' name. And we command that you leave his mind alone, that he'll tonight will understand clarity, have clarity of thought. And not only that, he'll receive everything that, Lord, that you have to offer for all of us. And I pray that for everybody in here. We command those minds to be open to receive the word of God. It is the word of God. And we just praise you, Father, for everybody that's going to be set free by this Bible study in Jesus' name. And we praise you and glorify you for the work that you're going to do in all of us in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, that the most mature can learn from this Bible study. And I praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. And Lord, I'm asking you to grow everybody up that has inundated, I guess, with attacks. And I ask, Lord, that you put a will in them to fight. Just every chance that the enemy throws at them, they got something better because they got the word. And I praise you, Father, for getting us some warriors here.
Yes.
Glory be to God. And I thank you for it, Father, that after this Bible study, people are going to be so much more aware of where they are with you, Lord, and I thank you for it. They're going to be overcomers. And I praise you, Father, for all you're doing. And Joe and everybody else that wants this, it's on here for this Bible study in Jesus' name. Amen. You receive that, Joe?
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen, brother. Lord, hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. For supernatural energy for Joe, too.
Yeah.
In Jesus' Amen. Name. Matt's got a testimony about that.
Amen.
Oh. Boy, he was run down last week. Go ahead, Matt.
Yeah, it was getting pretty bad there, wasn't it? To the point where I'd be taking an hour and a half nap at the meetings. but I was getting pretty worn down, working two jobs and just under attack of the enemy all the time. And when I was off of work there for a few days at the Wednesday Bible study, Michael prayed for energy for me. And let me tell you what, I haven't felt tired in quite some time. I mean, you know, just normal sleeping, but it doesn't need to be excessive.
And the great thing about it wasn't Michael, it was Jesus.
Yeah.
That's who it was. It was God that did that. He and she put a new battery in him. I'm telling you what, he was just like the, what's that bunny that goes around that?
Energizer bunny.
Yeah. Praise God. That's great, Matt. Amen. Then there's Obadiah. No. All right.
He just said
anybody
yes.
Yeah. Oh, well, praise the Lord. I didn't know he could say it. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
All right. Oh, no, that wasn't you, was it, Obi?
Yes.
All right. Praise the Lord. He can say yes. He's got a thing with me at the fellowship. Yeah. He'll always say no. It don't make any difference. I can say, I'll give you some ice cream, and he'll say no. You know, that's just his thing with me. Praise you, Lord, for Obadiah. Yeah. All right. Anybody else got a testimony or prayer request or praise report? Now, I know that everybody in here studied this first chapter You know it by heart. You've got it all down. Everything about the curse of unforgiveness in that first chapter, you got it locked up in that file upstairs, and you can recall it at any time. You got a mind like a steel trap, Lord of God. And people's going, we're going to learn some stuff tonight. Right? The Curse of Unforgiveness by David Hills. Amen. Barbara says amen. Okay, Barbara, we're going to be calling on you for quite a lot. Thank you, Jesus. We got one in here that's read this chapter and knows it by heart. The thing that we want to get across, yeah, I know you did, in this first chapter is what is unforgiveness. And not only that, what happens if you have unforgiveness? Well, most of us know what happens because we've had Matthew 6:14 and 15. We've had that in front of us for quite a while. For if you, us, listen, for unforgiveness will do one thing. And that's all it'll do. It'll do one thing. It'll send you to hell. It sends you to hell. I don't care what you think about. Once saved, always saved. Don't make any never mind. If you have unforgiveness in your heart, I don't care if you're a Baptist, a Presbyterian, a Catholic, Assembly of God, or whatever. If you have unforgiveness in your heart, you're headed for hell. You have to learn what unforgiveness is. And when you learn what unforgiveness is, you'll be able to combat it a lot better, because then you'll recognize what it is. Holding on to that unforgiveness because you think you have a right to, it's very dangerous, very dangerous. It's eternal life dangerous. Well, you don't know what they did to you. It don't make any difference what they did to you. It doesn't make a bit of difference in the world what somebody did to you. Had you rather hold on to that and go to hell or get rid of it, be free of that bondage and walk like Jesus? So I just wanted to preface that first about unforgiveness. You can't have unforgiveness and expect God to bring you into heaven. It ain't going to work that way, because he says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses is anything that comes against you, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And there's another wonderful verses of scripture that tells us that too. And we'll get into that later on in some of these other chapters, but it's the parable of the guy with that was forgiven his big debt, and he wouldn't forgive the guy his little debt. And what the Lord tell him? He said, you're gone. You're out of here. You're gone. You're in bondage until you learn this message, you know. It's very dangerous to hold forgiveness. What would happen if you had unforgiveness in your heart and you went out on the street, because you're not covered by the blood when you got unforgiveness on you, and a train ran over you, or a bus ran over you, or a semi ran over you? When you got sin in your life, this is serious stuff. When you got sin in your life, you're outside the body. You're outside the body. That's what the word says. So having said all of that and trying to make it just as serious as I can, how we should be striving to get rid of all kinds of bitterness, anger, offense, wrath, any kind of little critical spirit, irritation. If you get something rising up in your belly, you better knock it back down. You know how you get when somebody comes against you and you think that, well, how dare him? Well, we're going to get into a lot of things here that's going to show us what unforgiveness is this time. And because of that, we can recognize unforgiveness for what it really is. It's an offense to God. It's a complete offense to God. He don't like it. He ain't going to have it. He'll send you to hell over it. Well, I think I got a right to have this to be against these people. You don't know. They did this. They did that. That's not what the word says. Word says this. He said, if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. He didn't say he's just forgive those that he thinks is okay to have unforgiveness for. He don't want you to have any kind of unforgiveness in your heart at all. Get rid of it. Forget about it. It ain't. It's not worth going to hell over. Okay. Now that we got the bad part out of the way, what's really awesome about this unforgiveness is that we can give it to God and forget about it. He'll take it out of there. He'll take it out of there. But here's the kicker. That thing is going to go out there and do a wheelie, because in a lot of cases, he's been tormenting people, you know, a person. Like if he put torment, he knows my buttons, so to speak. Oh, he has learned my buttons over the years. Well, he'll press that button by through somebody, you know, and I'll get mad, but I can either get mad or I can overcome and say, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I don't have to put up with that. These people don't ain't got a clue what they're doing. Most of the time they don't. And so that's why we need to just fluff it off. Just fluff it off. It's not worth it. It ain't worth it. If you're not forgiven, you're in big trouble. You're in big trouble. Great big trouble. So we have to learn to fight. That's the big thing. You have to learn to fight. And if you don't fight, you ain't going to win this war. You're not going to win it. Hey, Dave. And that's the first chapter of A Curse of Unforgiveness. Oh, I'm just kidding you, Dave. Amen. Okay, now that I've said all of that, somebody else tell me what they got out of this chapter. Go ahead, Andrew.
Well, when he was talking about Jesus on the cross, and he said, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. You can just go right all the way back from the time he started his ministry. But, you know, sometimes you just want to go back from the time when they took him in the garden and all those sufferings he went through. And he still forgave them all. The coming to get him with the clubs, the standing before King Herod, and they marked him. And you know, he was betrayed by his government. He was betrayed by the ruling government of the Romans. He was taken by the Gentiles and taken by his own people. He was voted against by, you know, they took a census on whether they should let him go or not. You know, they put a crown of thorns on him and all this stuff. You know, all these things that come against us seem to parallel it. You know, and it really cut me to the heart when I read the first chapter, and I want this any sort of unforgiveness gone away from me, because I basically did the same thing. You know, I went right back to when the Lord first called me. And I tried to think of everything I could have possibly done. And I was doing this the night Michael was trying to find a wood book to learn on, to study. And I was confessing all things, and I was asking the Lord to bless the people that did everything against me, and everything I did in retaliation. You do retaliate quite a bit when you go through a divorce. And I was pretty weak in the Lord. And it does help to pray for people, but I'm going to have to read it again, because I was kind of overwhelmed with sadness. And well, the Lord did it again. You know, he showed me that this forgiveness that you need to have is another form of his love. And we really need to apply that love to our you know, to family, to acquaintances, everyone you ever met, everyone who's ever wronged you. And if you retaliated by speaking back, you have to ask for forgiveness for that. Everything that that came your way from ever since the Lord first called you. And you know, the Lord was reminding me of things I didn't even know that I did. And that's the blessing of the Lord. And he also gives you repentance and tells you need to do repentance. You know, he gave me those two verses there. To repent, the one where the tower fell on the people, and the one where Herod mixed the blood with those who were offering sacrifice. He mixed their own blood with them. And unless you repent, you know, these things can happen to you. And because these people would have thought that these were the worst sinners ever. And you know, the examples they have in there are really great. And I'm just saying that it really cuts to my heart, and I thank the Lord for it all. And I want to be filled with love for forgiveness. The love of forgiveness is a really, really powerful love. If you can always have that forgiveness with you, if someone's trying to get at you, get you angry, get you started on the old man, on the flesh, the love of forgiveness. You know, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. It's so much collates with that verse, you don't fight with flesh and blood. And it really hits strong. And that was just the first chapter. And I just look forward to the other ones. Praise God.
Amen. Go ahead, Malcolm. That's good, Andrew. Thank you. Yeah, go ahead, Malcolm.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I was talking to my wife, and I wasn't listening. I just wanted to say that I didn't read the first chapter. I listened to the first of the recordings of the seven MP3 files that are available on this, you know, from way back 2010. And what David was talking about was the testimony of this lady in Singapore who was a student there at a university. And sounds like she was having possible heart attack or something. Is that the same story, Michael?
Yes, it is. It's the same one.
Yeah, that's okay.
That's from Aaron Pomeroy.
Yeah, I remember listening to that when it first happened. Quite a story. But anyway, I was just thinking about what Jesus said in John, I think 15 and 16, that you will have persecution. And he said, I'm forewarning you so you don't have to worry about it. But that persecution can really eat on you if you're not really walking with the Lord. The persecution is going to happen, and people are just going to hate you just because of who you've become. And it can get really nasty, and it can be ongoing for years and years and years, this subtle hatred that you just sense around people. But we have to overcome that, and we have to forgive from the heart. That's not just, that's a miracle. So that's just something I've had to deal with, and I'm sure all of us have to deal with it, because persecution comes to everybody, as Jesus said. So it's just part of the package, and we have to have persecution, and we have to overcome it just like Jesus did. Anyway, I had some other deep thoughts. I can't remember what they were, but anyway, it's good to hear that story again. I wonder how that lady's doing there in Singapore, if she's still there.
We still hear from her occasionally.
Oh, neat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Of course, as you know, I went to school there for 5 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Five of my happiest years were spent as a freshman in high school.
Oh, yeah.
I'm kidding.
Yeah. Okay. Malcolm was kidding.
Did you become a sophomore?
actually, it was my sophomore year when I met the Lord, or the Lord met me. It was more like it. It was just an incredible experience, which I've talked about here. But yeah, I love Singapore. You chew bubble gum and you get a fine. Bubble gum is illegal. That's why they call it a fine city.
Goodbye, Malcolm.
Bye. Actually, they have T-shirts that say on the front, Singapore is the fine city, and on the back they list hundreds of fines. Okay, I'll bow out.
Okay. Thank you for that information. I'm not going to go to Singapore anytime soon, so I guess I'll be okay. I like what the lady he's talking about, Aaron, was talking about on page 10. She said, down at the bottom, the last paragraph there, she said, in God's sight, there's no such thing as any justification for anger, which snowballs to unforgiveness and then to bitterness. Yes, especially when you realize God is the sovereign God and nothing can come to us unless God wills it. He works all things together for our good, which means that whatever comes our way comes by the express design of God. John 3:27, a man can receive nothing except it have been given him from heaven. It comes by the design of God for the purpose of creating Christ in us. That's the purpose for all correction. That's the purpose for all things that God does and for us. Puts us in these circumstances for one reason. And that's creating Christ in us. That's all it is. Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, it's kind of, I got stabbed in the heart today when I was reading that particular passage, because yesterday at the meeting, I'd made a spectacle of myself because I was indignant about a man I'd run across and the way that he was behaving. And, asking for everybody to not have to run into people like that because I was offended by his actions and stuff. And I kind of thought about it on the way home, but I was driving and I guess my wife was driving. But anyways, I didn't really pursue it. But when I read it again tonight, I realized that was a major unforgiveness in my part, that the Lord had put that guy in there for a different purpose, or maybe for that purpose. But I by being indignant by his behavior, it's actually, again, it was something that probably I used to do. In fact, it is things I used to do that offend me now. And it was when I read that, I was, man, here I'm trying, I'm doing my best, and here I'm living with unforgiveness, and then I'm testifying about it in front of the group, but anyways, so I stopped what I was doing when I read that. I prayed for the man. I asked for forgiveness for myself, and I forgave him that he offended me, and I asked the Lord to forgive me for being offended. And, the Lord is really working in us, but we've got to watch out for it, because there's all these different things, and it's just real easy to slip into unforgiveness in the situations we encounter. And especially now that, I'm kind of in a sheltered environment. I spend most of my time with good people. And so when I get out and I run into the worldly people and people that aren't saved, it's something I really got to watch for, to not be offended. And if I am, to correct myself and let the Lord correct me for it too. So thank you, Lord, for pointing that out to me.
Amen. I've got a confession too, Tim. When I got through reading this thing last night, well, actually over the last 2 days, I had to go down and confess to David some bad thoughts that I had against somebody too, And I ain't going to tell you who it was, but it was just, it wasn't you, Tim. No, I got rid of that unforgiveness a long time ago. but I did. I had to go down and I said, David, golly, man, I got criticism in my heart. And, I'd sit there with a smile on my face listening to him. But in my heart, I was, it was wrong. It was wrong. So I got confessed it. I got cleaned of it. So we're back on the road again. We're learning, okay? We're all learning. We're all learning how to do this thing. And it's not too hard. It's just a matter of what are you going to allow it to overcome you, or are you going to overcome it? God says, Christ says, he is in you. And if he's in you, then he's the overcoming power that he's given you. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you can get rid of it. You don't have to worry about it. It comes back, just comes back at you. That's what I did is, after that, I just said, okay, praise God. I bless that person in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. They ain't got a clue. They whatever. But you got to get rid of it. You can't have it. And just like Andrew said, that you can mentally ascend and say, I forgive you, but in your heart it's still there. You got to give it to God. If it's still in your heart, you got to give it to God and let him cleanse it from you. Lord, I don't want this. I ain't got it no more, because you're taking it from me. And I praise you for it. And just keep thanking God for it. Thank you, Lord, that you've done it. Look, something that I've started doing is just going out. I've got the mind of Christ. I'm just a light bulb for Jesus, and I'm going to be somebody that can look at me and see that Jesus permeating from my being, Every morning, do that as often as you can. That's your work. Do it. And guess what will happen? Jesus will do it. He'll do it. Thank you, Lord. Did you raise your hand again, Tim? Or did I? Okay. I didn't lower it. I don't get it. Okay. All right. Anybody else want to confess a sin? No. Want to talk about something that you saw in here that really caught your heart? Yeah, Tim.
I do have one more thought on this, and it probably goes back to the first time I heard these teachings, that, it's amazing how you know, this little thoughts that race through your mind from time to time. And if a person, you know, I think David even thought on it, if a person, when you think about that person, if there's anger or anything towards that person, you know, something, you know, somebody you knew in high school or grade school, you know, you just got to stop what you're doing right at that moment and get that out of your heart, forgive them, you know. We were all lost back then, or I was, especially the people I hung around with were. And, you know, I tried, you know, early on after I got these lessons, I really strove to forgive anybody when their thought, you know, came up. But every once in a while, I still, you know, think of some person, you know, many years ago, maybe a person I worked with, and I don't think I forgave that person. And it might have been something real small, but really try to, you know, after listening to those teachings, to just stop and make sure that that's out of my heart. And then when I think about them again next time, it's not there. If it is, then I really got to stop and give a double dose. But I think it's real important that we all do that, you know, if to really stop. If there's any thoughts of that are a bitterness towards anybody in our past, to really cleanse that out of our heart, because we may not get another chance.
Amen. George, did you have your hand up? I must have missed that. I thought I saw. Go ahead, Judy.
One of the things that the Lord was bringing to my attention when I was reading that, especially about the woman who was, you know, mad at the university that she worked for, is like the Lord was he convicted me of my attitude at work, and just the people I work with, and what sometimes how I respond within myself about I don't want to do what they're asking me to do, and I don't want to be what they want me to be, and I don't want to conform to what they're doing. And it's my attitude about it that the Lord was showing me was wrong. And the other thing that the Lord was showing me throughout this book is unforgiveness is really is the a lot of the root is that is just pride. It's your own self-will, and it's just pride, you know, because the opposite of pride is humility and meekness and all that Christ is and demonstrated, and how he could forgive everybody to sacrifice his whole life for the whole world, because he knew what sin was. He knew what he was doing, but he knew he kept seeing the goal. He kept seeing the prize. He kept seeing, you know, all of his, all of us. He kept seeing, you know, the end result. He was able to do that. And it's just pride that doesn't want to give up the feelings, the thoughts, the feelings of how you've been wronged or how hard it is. But you know, it is a process of laying down your life and giving up what you want and letting God be in control. Anyhow, that was the biggest thing the Lord showed me through that.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, Joe, go ahead. Man, you're in the dark out there.
Sorry about that. We got load shedding, some politics that's not going today. But what I want to tell is, after my divorce quite a few years ago, before my walk with the Lord, the Lord showed me in a dream about a lady interpreted, but I didn't have forgive myself. I forgive everybody else, but I didn't forgive myself. And I did give her some deliverance. And but that's the big thing. The Lord started to work with me to forgive somebody else. So that makes a big thing in my life. It's it starts with forgiveness. It's if you don't forgive everybody, the Lord. you can't do anything about it because you can't go against his word. So it's, you have to start to write. That changed my life completely. That's a big thing in my life, on forgiveness.
Yeah. You know, Joe, there's a lot of people like that. They can forgive other people, but it's themselves that they have the hardest problem with. And you get deliverance from that, you're okay.
I had that same thing too. I had a hard time forgiving myself about things.
Yeah.
But the Lord brought me through that too, where I was able to. And again, that's pride. When you think about that, you know, am I so prideful I can't forgive myself for what I did? If Jesus could forgive me, you know, it's just, why are you so hard on yourself? Why are you doing that to yourself? You don't need, you know, you couldn't help what you were, period.
Amen. I'm going to read a little bit here. Down at the bottom of 10, it's the last sentence. He said, the Lord makes the rules. He tells us to forgive. In Matthew 18:35, that's the parable of the debt thing. And he tells us not to judge those who are without, 1 Corinthians 5:12, because people who are not born again can't walk a righteous life. They are born in sin and shapen in iniquity, it says in Psalm 51:5. And they are at the mercy of the devil in many ways. We should pity them. We shouldn't judge them. Only God judges those who are without. If we judge them, then God will judge us, Matthew 7:1-2. Because we really are nothing without him. He has given us the grace to be something better. If he gives them the grace, then they'll be better. So it really makes no sense, no spiritual sense whatsoever, to be angry with the lost. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, in whom ye were sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and railing, and every one of those are rooted in unforgiveness. You can't have them without unforgiveness. And of course, if you have unforgiveness, you don't have God's forgiveness. Be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, even as God also in Christ forgave you. That's what it's telling you. He forgave you of the terrible sins that you were in or I was in. He forgave you, so why can't you forgive some little bit of something or other that somebody came against you with? And then he talks about the in Matthew 18:23-35 about the parable of the master forgiving his servant. That's the Lord there. He forgave us of that great big debt that we owed. And then we won't forgive somebody of a little bitty something or other that you got offended by, or they did something to you that you didn't like. Yeah. And just like Julie said, that's pride. And that's what took Satan out. And what's the kicker is that last verse in 18, Matthew 18:35. So shall also my heavenly Father do unto you if you forgive not everyone his brother. He says, where? From your hearts. He don't just say mouth it out and expect God to receive that, but it's got to come from your heart, and God will do it. Or if you don't, he'll turn you over to the tormentors. Until you got something, until you paid every portion of it that's due. So if you're having trouble with whatever all the time, better check your heart and see if you got some unforgiveness in you. Because that's the correcting, that's the way God corrects us, is through those types. If you're tormented here, if you've got a sickness that you can't get rid of, is whatever. If it's something that's a curse on you, check your heart and see what's going on. And if you don't find anything, that's good. It's a test of your faith. And then whack it with the rod of God, with the Word of God. Okay, anybody else? Yeah, Malcolm.
Yeah, I was just thinking about this, Michael. I just think this is a very big deal. It's for me anyway, it's a big deal because even in, when I was in Singapore, as I've mentioned before, I was from a non-Western culture when I went there, and Singapore is a very Western place. It's kind of, at least back in those days, it was very modernized. Everything was very modern, and you know, all the movie type stuff was available. And when I got there, I didn't know anything about, you know, all the movies and the music and all the other stuff that all the other kids my age were all quite familiar with. I was totally not from their world, so there was a lot of I didn't fit in. And you know how kids are; they can be pretty nasty. And there were some boys that were not nice to me at all. And I've thought about this. I heard that at least one or two of those boys have been pastors all these years. And I thought to myself, yeah, what kind of pastor are they? They're not even fivefold ministry pastor. And these terrible thoughts were coming up. I thought, no, wait a minute. You know, it sounds to me like I haven't forgiven them. And some other things that happened in Singapore, some teachers that were very... they should be in prison for the stuff they were doing to the students. But I had a grudge against them because of how, you know, the way this, especially this one teacher was treating me. And actually, it turned out he was treating all the boys that way. He was really nice to the girls. But, you know, it's possible to get into a teaching position and never have been converted and to have some terrible things that you've gone through as a child. I didn't know about any of that. I assume that's what this teacher had been through, but I've really had to deal with this kind of bitterness. I haven't even thought about it, and then I'll get some memory of some of these folks, and I'll think, you know, what kind of jerk were they, you know, and start criticizing them, and realize that I've had unforgiveness toward them. When the thought comes up, it's not a pleasant thought, and it's certainly not forgiving from the heart. So I don't know, for me, this really been something that's been ongoing, and I really want to see it behind me. I think something else I just wanted to say was that when we pray about, you know, we don't want bitterness or unforgiveness in our heart and we renounce that, I say, in Jesus' name, I don't have that. Jesus has taken that from me, and by faith I have that unforgiveness from the heart. But sometimes if you're, at least for me, when I'm a little lackadaisical about walking with the Lord, spending time with the Lord, praying, this persecution stuff goes on no matter how you're walking with the Lord. And if you're not really spending time with him and the persecution hits, you can be not really prepared for it. And then what I'm saying is that stuff comes against you whether you're ready for it or not, and if you're not ready for it, if you're not walking with the Lord, if you're not prayed up and these things, you can get in trouble real quick. So, you know, sometimes I think, well, wait a minute, is all this fighting against unforgiveness, you know, going to go to waste because I've haven't been walking with the Lord? You don't want to think thoughts like that, but you know, it's a big deal, this unforgiveness, and I don't want any of it in me. And I actually want to love people. Jesus was praying for the people that were coming against him, and I want to be in that position where I'm praying for people for their salvation. That's another thing too, is I think God, these people need our prayers for them to make it, because the normal sequence is if they continue on in their evil ways, and they're coming against you, God is going to hold that against them. And if you hold it against them, then the natural course of events is they're going to be lost. But if you, as the person who's been attacked by them, they've been attacking, if you're praying for them, I think the Lord really listens to that and may have mercy on those people. I think it's really important that we pray for these people because their lives may be at stake based on our prayers. Plus, that'll help us because we, you know, because then we won't have that unforgiveness there.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, I want to read something else over here on page 12. Look on page 12. Where it says in Deuteronomy 28, up at the top there, about five or six lines down over on the right there. In Deuteronomy 28, there's page after page of the curse listed, all because of certain sins. And the Lord sends this as a chastening in order that we will repent. Proverbs 3:12 says, "For whom the Lord loves, he reproves, even as a father the son in whom he delights." The Lord chastens us so that we won't be partakers of the curse with the world. Hebrews 12:14, follow after peace with all men. That's what Andrew was talking about. And the sanctification without which no man shall see the Lord. Contrary to popular opinion, it doesn't matter that you have been a Christian. It doesn't matter that you have accepted Jesus as your personal Savior. If you're not holy, if you refuse the holiness of God, you'll never see the Lord. Boy, that's a sobering thought there. That's what the Bible says, and here he is definitely talking about these things, about bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, malice, which we are to put away from us, and to not let the sun go down on our wrath, Ephesians 4:26. So we are to, Hebrews 12:14, follow after peace with all men, not some of them, not the ones you like, but all men. And the sanctification without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking carefully, lest there be any man that falls short of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby the many be defiled. And as you know, the passage goes on to speak of Esau, who sold his birthright, and it was bitterness toward his brother that caused him to do it. Romans 9:11, for the children being not yet born, neither having done anything good or bad, that the purpose of God, according to election, might stand, not of works, but of him that calls. And it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger, even as written, Jacob I love, but Esau I hated. Amen. So we have to love everybody. Everybody. What did Jesus say that the greatest commandment was? Love your neighbor as yourself. He said, first love the Lord with all your heart, strength, and might, you know. But then we are to love our neighbor. Who's our neighbor? Anybody that's around us. As ourselves. Everybody around us. And if you don't love them, you want to be treated right. If you're going to be treated right, don't have anything but love in your heart. Well, how do I get that love? Get in the Word. Stay in the Word. Get the Word in you. And it'll be a blessing to you and the people around you. Look at James 5:14 on page 13. Is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. and the prayer of faith shall save him that is sick. And what happened? And the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, it shall be forgiven him. Confess, therefore, your sins one to another, and pray one for another that you may be healed. The supplication of a righteous man availeth much in its working. And then David goes on to say, did you notice that he says they will pray the prayer of faith for the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. If he committed a sin, shall be forgiven him. Then he tells us to confess our sin. Listen, that's the quickest way to get redemption from the Lord. It's just go in there and confess to somebody you know that, hey, man, I did this. I was thinking bad thoughts against this person. And I'm just confessing this, and I need to get rid of it. Bless God. And I just ask you, pray with me, you know. And then you go ahead and pray it out of you. Forget about it right from the end point. Don't carry condemnation around with you all day, because God's forgotten it. He's already forgotten it. Don't worry about it. It's gone. David goes on to say, and he's making a point here. Did you notice that he says that they will pray the prayer of faith for the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, it shall be forgiven. Then he says, confess therefore your sins one to another. Why does he say that? He says that if they pray over you, you will be healed and your sins will be forgiven. And what he's saying is, if you don't confess your sins, you'll block this healing or your deliverance or your provision or some demonic problem or whatever the need is. So if you've got unforgiveness in your heart, you're blocking your prayers, you might as well just forget it. You know, go ahead and confess. Get it over with. Get it out of there. And God will bless you in a quick way. Who brings the curse on us? Yes, the devil. That devil does all of that. He brings all the curse on us. He loves doing it too. So the only way to get him off of you is to confess your sins and repent. David says the devil has a job to do, and his job is to administer the curse on those who are out from under the blood of Jesus because of their disobedience. Are you tormented? Do you need a healing? You can't get your healing. Are your prayers being answered? You know, that's the things to look for. David says, when the devil administers the curse, if you have good sense, you go running back to Jesus and confess your sins and repent, and God delivers you. And if you don't do that, we can go through so many things for years and years while we wonder, why isn't God answering me? And the point is, why aren't you answering him? Whew, Lord of God, man, that hits the heart, don't it? Anybody got any comments on what we're talking about? Yeah, Joe.
Now, this thought came to mind when I, you know, I never, just to kind of say there first, I never knew how bad unforgiveness was. I mean, you know, when I've lived my whole life in it, and I basically grew up in an environment that, you know, I wouldn't say it wasn't nothing to just kind of, you know, live in unforgiveness. And, but you know, yeah, it didn't really seem like it mattered too much. Just was like, well, you know, we're in unforgiveness, you know, we're angry at so-and-so, we'll go behind their back and talk about them. You know, all those things that stem from unforgiveness, you know, all the symptoms. I mean, I could look back and see, you know, we didn't really think much of it until we got caught. That's how Judas was. He wasn't really repentant. He got caught, you know, the Lord called him out on it. And then he was sorry, or he, you know, he felt those feelings, you know, but that wasn't that godly sorrow that led to repentance. So I guess it was kind of one of those examples. Oh, when someone called us on our sins or called us on what we did wrong, then we were sorry. Then we were upset, you know, we still had that unforgiveness in our heart towards them. And it kind of reminds me of the ungrateful or the servant, you know, to the king, you know, the king forgave him. you know, that thought came to mind. I said, well, that sounds just like the king, you know, kind of like me. It's like, okay, you know, I've been forgiven of the debt. Thank you. You know, thank you, Lord, you know, and, but I'm gonna go over here and I'm gonna get, you know, what's mine, you know, cause it's, well, I'm trying to think how I wanted to word that, but it's, you know, kind of reminds me of that pride, you know, I mean, I'm gonna come back and get what's mine because this guy over here, you know, we couldn't forgive him. So, I mean, I used to act like that, but I think, I mean, what stood out with me here, you know, to get to my point, you were saying, you know, when the devil administers the curse, if you have good sense, you go running back to Jesus and confess your sins and repent. And I remember when I first heard that, you know, basically living in those that church years ago that believed in once saved, always saved. And that, you know, that's a perfect environment for unforgiveness, you know, to live in it, to act like it's no big deal. Because, oh, hey, you know, I'm still saved. I'm okay. You know, God will forgive me. And I remember when I first heard David kind of speak that, said, you know, you'll lose your salvation. And it just, like, it really hit me. And I was really fearful. I was like, wait a minute, you're telling me I could lose my salvation? You know, and I remember just did, like, I mean, fear at times would grip me, you know, and I would just, yeah, I'd have such fear about it. And I think I remember, you know, as I would, these feelings of unforgiveness for, like, let's say a coworker at the time, I remember that I was traveling down the road to a former coworker's house, and all of a sudden the enemy would come right back at me. Like you said, he'd pull a U-turn and come right back at you, you know, with unforgiveness, with these feelings. And I remember this fear would just come upon me, and I just says, oh Lord, I don't want these thoughts. You know, I don't want these feelings. I don't want to go to hell. Forgive me, you know, take these thoughts from me. So, I mean, it's just like I had enough sense to, that fear came over me, because for one thing, I was tired of being tormented. You know, I was tired of being just so bogged down by the tormentors that I remember I just ran to the Lord. You know, I just ran, like, I mean, not even kicking and screaming, but I ran like a little child, you know, I'm just out of fear, like, help me, help me. But yeah, that kind of spoke to me there. I thought, oh yeah, if you have, I mean, I think for me, I had good enough sense, because I was already tormented for years. You know, I was very bitter at one time in my life, and I wondered why. You know, this was before I understood it was because I had unforgiveness in my heart towards people. But then, you know, I looked at it at that time, I realized how serious it was. I had enough sense. I said, no, I don't want that anymore. I've been through that, you know, too long. Okay, Lord, take this from me. You know, like you said, if you cannot forgive them from your heart, give it to the Lord. You know, the Lord will. He will help you. He will change your heart. And that was the thing. I couldn't do it myself. You know, it was just, it was words. So, you know, I said, Lord, no, take this. Change my heart to forgive this person, because I'm tired of being tormented. So, yeah, I had enough. I can relate with that. Yeah, I had good sense to say, no, okay, I repent of this, Lord. Take these thoughts. I don't want them anymore. Take them from me as far as you can. So,
amen. Anybody else? Yeah, Andrew, I'll get right back to you, Missy.
You know, when you were talking there, Michael, and even when Job was talking here, there's a lot of stuff in the news. There's a lot of government leaders, past leaders, people from different countries, people who are way over there in the Middle East, maybe, where you might have expressed some words that you may have not wanted to, and you may have to seek forgiveness. This was one of the things that I prayed for, but that this is because it's so prevalent, the slander and everything that's out there when you go in society. It's even putting fear on me on how much unforgiveness a person can be pressured into by what's in the news and stuff. What's in the media and what's in society, basically. And you really have to go to that phrase. They don't know what they're doing. And forgive them, Father, and don't let that come in to you. I'm gonna just ask for some prayer for this, because this hits hard to me, because you may even think of things that have happened in history in the past and have unforgiveness towards that. You know, a country coming against your country of your ancestors or something. And I'm not trying to put anything over on you guys, but I think this is a really great love that the Lord can give us, and we really have to pursue it. I'm in a little bit of fear here on this conviction. Again, because I had it when I read it, and now it just came back to me. So I did confess the things there. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you would keep me. Remember my first forgiveness. So all these things, asking you for forgiveness for all these things that I may have said or thought about people. And Lord, again, Lord, I even ask, Lord, that there are times, you know, where you're tempted, where the tempter comes and tries to put something in your head about these things, and it's not really you, it's that tempter. So, Lord, I pray that you would put a watch over our minds and help our minds, Lord, not to get trapped into anything. We're being tempted to even think about how a person looks or something. And so, Lord, I just pray that you would help me with all of this. In Jesus' name I pray. And Lord, I pray for my colleagues here, my brethren, that if anything like this is popping into their head again, I stress, you know, some of the stuff, you know, a tempter could maybe try to put into your head, but it's just so prevalent in society, at work, you know, even with family. You know, someone will bring something up that can ignite something. So I just pray, Lord, that it, just like you said, Lord, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. That we can say that from the heart all the time. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. Well, Andrew, you just put me under condemnation, conviction, and all kinds of good stuff. But that is good stuff. Let me tell you a little story. And this is the way we ought to be. I may have told it before, but I believe Hagin is the one that came that told this story. He talked about a guy that was in their city, in their town, a little town, small town, that he was a Christian, and he never spoke bad about anybody. Never. You would never hear this man speak evil of anybody. And a couple of the boys that was friends with him thought they'd get the most evil guy in town to bring him up there and to see what this old boy would say about him. He brought him up there, and the old evil guy was just a cussing up a storm, doing all kinds of nasty stuff, you know. And after he left, the guy said, "Well, what do you think about him?" And that Christian looked at him and said, "Well, you know, that old boy had some pretty eyes." Turned around and walked off. And that's the way we ought to be. And you're right, Andrew. We shouldn't be. These people are lost as a goose in a snowstorm. They don't have a clue of who Jesus is. Now, we can come against the actions, but we can't come against the person. Yeah, buddy.
You know, the Lord, the way he trains us up on these things is he allows these things to come in our lives. We've heard this before, but and it even happens to me, because you think you've overcome, you think you have the knowledge, you think you got the bases covered, like Tim is talking, because you're you're striving to be on the right path, and we all are. But the Lord will allow something to come across your path. And it's the only way he can, one, well, he's going to be approving you, of course, but also it's the way that he can train you up at the same time. You know, if you think, well, I failed and I shouldn't have did this, but how else can he get you wise to the circumstance unless you go through it? Now, even me recently, I we're all talking about unforgiveness. I had a guy, this is after I hit that deer too, a couple of days before, they had a really hard time, but I had a guy in a training session with me, and we're all in a group, huddled in this group, and been trained by another outside vendor on a piece of equipment that he put in. And this guy, I've known him for 30 years or so, but he's on a different shift on mine, but we kind of overlapped the shifts so we could get this training in. And this guy, he's a Christian, but he's got spirits still. He's got tormenting spirits in his life. But you can have a lot of people have Christian knowledge or still Christians, but they haven't overcome in their life on things. So they don't have the knowledge we have. But he's got this thing going in him, and this spirit is really reacting to me, they're being there. And so I'm kind of tall, so is he. We're in back of this group trying to watch and look over. And I get the feeling that maybe he can't see, so I go to move back a little bit and shift, and he shifts for me. And I looked at him, and I thought, well, I'm just trying to, you know, get a little away a little bit. And I said, well, come on. And he's doing this shifting back and forth thing, like this crazy stuff. And I'm looking, I'm thinking, I'm seeing this guy's acting out. He's got some demon thing coming out. So I just, just kind of looked ahead and just kind of paid attention to what was going on, just kind of shoved him in the back of my head. Didn't know what I was going to do. Just leave this alone. And so we get done with that, and then we had to go around and do something else, and I'm standing across from him, basically. Now there's, you know, a couple groups standing across. This guy's in the middle teaching, and all of a sudden, he just starts going off on me, and I'm thinking, wow, this is crazy, you know, but that's what these demons do. But, you know, this is what the Lord was allowing to happen. I didn't say nothing. Just, you know, I had to go away, walked away, did something. Then we all kind of, he met me up with me some on the way out, and he's kind of apologetic in a way and being kind of, all of a sudden got his cognizance about him. But I'm just thinking, wow, this guy is just weird. You know, it's like the demon kind of freaked me out a little bit because I didn't know what to say around the guy at this point. Because that kind of, you know, gets in those situations. And so I'm thinking, well, you know, I've talked to this guy before about being factious a few times because he's been factious. Because this is what he does. He'll just start railing about people and about things. We're worrying about being factious and having faction. And I was kind of avoiding him for a while for that because he, even though he's, you know, if people confess to be Christians, they can be factious. And he had that factious spirit. Well, this factious spirit was, you know, going after me that day. And so I just kind of like, I just got to stay away from this guy. You know, I had that feeling before, but I had this feeling again, like, I just got to stay away from this guy. You know, wasn't really trying to talk much with him because I didn't want to pick up this factious spirit. That's sort of back in my head, because we kind of get that feeling here, like, hey, you start talking to people that are factious and they start agreeing with them, whatever you hear, listen to hear what they're hearing and what they're going to say to you. It's like you're afraid that stuff's going to get on you. So I was just kind of avoiding them. And I was thinking I was just being good about avoiding all this stuff, staying away from them and think, just keep my distance. But the Lord was pointing out to me, now I was getting unforgiveness, even though I didn't think it was. I was just trying to protect myself, I thought, insulate myself from the situation. But I was at the same time looking at this guy in a different light and not being loving in doing it. I was being, he's got the disease, got to hold him back, something wrong with him, judgmentalism. It wasn't out of love, it wasn't out of because I felt like I was doing myself a good service. I was basically insulating myself and saying, got to put this big division between us, and which I still kind of have to watch and do, but I can't do it. You can't do it in a way that your heart is upset about it, because after a while it starts to stir in you that way too. You start justifying all the time in your heart. Hey, this person's wrong. There's something wrong with him. He's got a demon. you start being condescending or judgmental because of it. And this is something the Lord took me through on that. It's like, rather than like Tim said, and I think I might have prayed for him then still, but you have to be careful how this subtlety comes in, and it goes from realizing you're dealing with demons to looking at the person and thinking about the person having being issued. And it's not the person, it's what's behind them that's the issue. You know, you got to have the compassion for the person. I kind of forgot the compassion for the person. And I was just looking at him then at that point and saying, hey, this guy's a problem. When it's actually the demon there that's doing it, that's got him, you know, bound up. So that was what the Lord took me through to understand. And if he doesn't take you through these things, and so you can start rationalizing things the way he sees them and understand it, so that you can know what you're dealing with and how to even pray for people, what you're praying for people, and quit looking at them individually and looking at what might be pushing them there. We're always going to go back and look at them individually. We're going to think it's them when there might be something else in their life that's doing it. You know, because if they had the ability to walk away from what they're doing, they would, but they can't because they're in bondage too to it. We forget about that. They're actually bound up from something holding them there because of that's the way they are. So they're under their curse right now. And we're seeing the results of the curse, and we're judging them individually for a curse, but it's not them. It's because God put that on them because they're doing things they shouldn't be doing, and they haven't repented from it. So we get the, what happens is we, our heart, if we don't separate the person from their sin, we're going to be judging the person. We don't judge the person, we judge the sin. We say that's where the problem is. That's what they're falling from. And it's because they're turned over to that, but it's not them. They need the forgiveness. So that's what if we don't go through these things and learn it and understand it the way the Lord sees it, we'll constantly stumble ourselves. But this helps us overcome our own way, so then we can understand things the way the Lord sees things too. And unless you go through the circumstance, you won't understand that. I don't know if that makes any sense, but that's what I had to go through recently.
Thanks, Dave. That just helped me about someone that happened to me. And I actually told this guy to stay away from me very loudly because he always speaks negative. And I repent, Lord, for that. And forgive me, Lord, I repent for that. It just came in as soon as you started talking about that. And this is not a work colleague, though. It's just someone who lives in the same neighborhood here. So that's very it brought that back to my remembrance of that, and I thank the Lord for it. Because that's why you spoke that. Particularly for me, it hit hard. And praise God that he reminded me of that. But
I couldn't repent of it. I spoke it because I got beat up for it. So I got beat pretty good on that one. So I learned my lesson.
Paul, thanks for sharing the love.
Go ahead, Missy.
Oh gosh, I'm not quite sure how to share this. In some respects, I had a hard 4 days because of being with family and not being able to have time with the Lord like I normally do. And I just want to express how important it is don't let one day slip by without spending time with the Lord, or spending enough time with the Lord, because the enemy just comes in and he can really cause a lot of problems. The short of it is I was having problems with being impatient today. And being unforgiving. It's hard to deal with a situation when you're trying to talk about a situation, a problem, whatever, that needs to be resolved. And either a person is walking away from you and not giving you undivided attention to listening to what you're saying so that, you know, you can resolve the situation and then talk about it. Because many times I've had that kind of a situation, and because the other person wasn't listening, later it created problems because they didn't hear everything that you said. And it's just really a tough situation. So it's like, there's a matter of, okay, you don't want to, in a sense, be offended and defend yourself or say, you know, can you give me the respect of giving me your undivided attention? But when there's a problem that needs to be resolved and you're trying to talk about it, I mean, I know you can't force someone to communicate with you, but when you're trying to communicate and you are having a back and forth, but you don't feel like they're listening to you because they're not paying attention, giving you undivided attention, and that creates a problem. It's a hard situation to deal with. And you just gotta, you know, I just know I gotta not get frustrated and impatient, offended or whatever. And just sometimes, I guess, just walk away myself and just, you know, forget about it. And just ask the Lord to work in this situation, that it gets resolved. So that's my struggle right now with forgiving. So Father, I just ask you to help me to just remember to go to you, Lord. And I ask you to work in my heart and the other person's heart to bring about the communication that there needs to be, Lord. And put in each of our hearts the solution to the problem. And put your love in our hearts. Love and respect in each of our hearts. But first and foremost, Lord, that Lord, you say to, you know, if you don't love your brother or sister, you don't love me. The love of God is not in you. Just ask you to give us a greater understanding, revelation, and knowledge of what that love is, Lord, your love, the agape love, laying down our lives. No greater love have man that lay down, except that he lay down his life for his friend. And just to be at rest and cease from our works, Lord. Knowing, Lord, that you will iron it all out. I need your grace to be patient and humble. Everything that I need, Lord, I just need you to be totally forgiving and loving as you love me, Lord. And I ask you to work all that in me to live on the day of your good pleasure in Jesus' name. I want to please you, Lord, and only you, Lord.
Amen. Yeah, Malcolm. Malcolm, go ahead. I was muting and unmuting you.
Well, we are working in concert together, see?
I guess. Well,
because I was actively going to be toggling it back and forth and kept saying, you're unmuted, you're not, you are unmuted, you are unmuted, you are unmuted. Missy, I just wanted to say, I know it's an emotional situation for you, I don't think anything I'm going to say is prophetic necessarily, but the Lord's got your back, as you know. I'm just saying what you already know. And that he will restore the years of the locusts of Eden in your life. And I think a lot of us are looking forward to that time when a lot of the prophecies and words that we've gotten from the Lord about our relatives will be fulfilled. I think, what Jesus said in John 14, 15, 16, he talked about and that your joy may be full. I think that time is going to come. I think we can walk in that now at times, but I think there's going to be some incredible joy coming. So even though it's hard now, just know we're praying. I think we're all praying for each other here. And Michael, I just want to say thank you so much for being faithful to the Lord and bringing up this curse of unforgiveness topic. I think it's very, very critical. I thank you, Andrew, for your praying, your honesty, and your opening yourself to the Lord here on the call. I want prayer for this too, for that I be clean from any unforgiveness, that I forgive from the heart, and I love, I truly love, and I don't want anything rising up in me against those that come against me. A lot of you know my situation. I'm living in a place where almost everybody around me is opposed to what the Lord is doing in me, or what the Lord has called me to. Even though they're and it comes, the criticism is, you have left the church. What that means is you're not saved. You can't be saved. You've turned from the light the Lord has given you, and on and on and on. But I know there's a day coming when there's going to be a reversal, but we need to be faithful to the Lord now in for that reversal to take place for us and for our relatives. We all have a lot of relatives we're praying for, and I think there's a lot hinging. I don't think we should say there's a lot hinging on us, but it's on our being obedient to the Lord. It's not, because it's not by our works. It's not by God working in us. So it's just a lot at stake right now in this unforgiveness thing. And we want to pass those tests. So if we have group prayer, I want to be in on it. I want to not have any unforgiveness, and I want to be, my heart beating with your heart and whatever you have going that you're dealing with in the world. I want to be praying for the stuff that you want me to be praying for, all these things. And Lord, I just pray that you will give us that, if we need it, a heart of shame, where we're ashamed of what's happened in the past, and we're open to that healing and that fixing from you and enabling. So I guess that's all for now.
Amen. Well, that's a good idea, is to go ahead and start praying. I just confess myself, Andrew brought out a good point a while ago about these people that we see on the news every day and the unforgiveness in our hearts toward them because of the things that they've done. But just like we just got through reading, they don't know what they're doing. They're just lost as a goose. And so, Father, I just ask that you forgive us. I'm going to just ask you, Lord, that you forgive us all. They can confess also quietly behind the scenes there for judging people that are lost. Not only that, some of them are world leaders, country leaders, and high in office. High-end office in politics and government. And Lord, we want to be like that man was in that small town. Well, she's got some good, pretty eyes. instead of saying all kinds of bad things about him. Lord, we just ask that you place that in our hearts. Forgive us, Father, of judging, being critical, and getting angry at times. And that's that spirit that's on the news that does that. And I understand it. And I ask, Lord, that you place it in our hearts to stay away from that garbage. And to pray and ask you to fill us up with your Holy Spirit. And like Andrew said and Malcolm said, the love that we need, fill our hearts up with just nothing but you, Lord. And that we love only you, because when we love you, as you loved us, we'll love everybody else, regardless of what they look like, what they've done in the past. And Father, we ask and we pray that you remove all of the garbage that's been coming into our hearts all these many years, and replace it with your love, Lord. Take that old stony heart and put a heart of flesh in there, Lord. And we thank you for all that you're doing in us. I ask a special blessing for those who have humbled themselves, Lord, and confessed their sin. And I ask, Father, that you just bless them, take them up in your arms and love on them and give them a fresh anointing, Father. And give them a bunch of alligator hide, too. Well, nothing to bother them, in Jesus' name. And Lord, we just ask and we pray for your Holy Spirit that guides us and leads us and set a watch before our mouth, Lord, that we won't speak those things, those evil things that we have in the past against someone. And even if there's a conversation that comes up and they start talking the evil talk, that we would back off and just not say anything, you know, and just reflect on you. Because that's what happens a lot of times, you know. We get to talking politics and governmental affairs and the things that we really don't know a whole lot about other than what we've read and heard on the news. And we need to be praying for these people. Lord, I ask and I pray that you place that in our hearts to be like that man in that small town where we don't see any bad. We always find something good to say about everybody, whatever it is. And Lord, I praise you and thank you for doing that. Take away any guilt, take away any condemnation for those who have confessed, and I believe everybody has that has had that problem. And take away any guilt in our hearts, Lord, and set us up on that mountain with you. In Jesus' name, set us up in that high place of Mount Zion, Lord. We want to walk that holy road, that highway of holiness. And you're teaching us how to do that. And Malcolm is right. All we have to understand is that God's going to restore everything that the canker worm and the palmer worm has taken from us. He's going to restore it in a lot of cases where we've given up everything. He's going to restore it tenfold. It's going to be better. Praise the Lord. And Father, I just praise you. And I ask for your loving arms around each one of us. Set us up in your lap, Lord, and hug on us and love on us like only you can. In Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody else want to pray? Go right ahead.
Well, I'd like to confess something first before I pray for a situation of mine. I want to ask, Marilyn, I want to ask for your forgiveness. It's about a month or two ago, and it's linked with my landlord situation, maintenance. You know, I remember you prayed one time, but you said something that really, at the time, I remember, I think when I first, you know, talked about this issue, it's been ongoing for a while, and the Lord spoke to me today, basically, you know, I have unforgiveness towards my landlord, you know, the maintenance crew. But I remember you said something specifically, and I took offense to it. I think it, you know, you were just pointing out the fact that they were lost. You know, I don't know if you even remember that. I mean, that situation, and I took offense to that. I was like, she's not agreeing with me. You know, why aren't you sharing my frustrations? You know, so I wanted to ask for your forgiveness for feeling that way. You know, it just, I mean, it has kind of set, you know, stayed with me from time to time. I'm just like, they're lost, you know, they've done me wrong. They've done me so wrong over the last couple of years. And that's, the Lord really spoke to me today. You know, I mean, like I said earlier, the enemy's been tormenting me all most of the weekend and even beginning of this week. And this is a perfect example of it. You know, I mean, I've held this for the last couple of years, but I wanted to ask for your forgiveness there and just confess that it was there. And, but yeah, I wanted to pray. So I guess you just all agree with me. I, most of all, for a heart change, you know, I mean, I know I'm wrong, you know, with the unforgiveness, but I feel like I've kind of, you know, my heart has hardened a bit. You know, I want the Lord change my heart again to take these things more serious than I have been. You know, I've gotten lax about them. You know, I've kind of gotten careless. You know, I thought, well, like, Julie, you were right on, you know, about the pride. You know, I've had a lot of that over the years, you know, just like holding on to that unforgiveness. Cause like, you know, we deserve, or, you know, we feel like through that pride, we deserve to hold against to somebody, you know, and I've had that many times throughout the years. And I still find myself with certain people, but yeah, I just wanted to, you know, lift up, you know, Lord, change my heart, you know, and help me to fully forgive my landlord, you know, for never doing their job, you know, just basically doing their job. And, you know, I mean, forgive for being critical to them as a lost people, most of all, you know, they're lost sinners. And, you know, cause I've taken it personal what they've done to me, you know, and what's going on. And I feel like I've been centered out, you know, I mean, if that makes sense, you know, I feel like it's personal, you know, why they're not helping me, but it's just whatever reason is, you know, yeah. I mean, that's just how the lost are, you know? And so I think that's kind of, I'm starting to realize it, why we can't judge them, you know? So, but yeah, I just want everyone to agree with me here. You know, Lord, I just thank you for this Bible study tonight. I thank you for these revelations. You know, for what you're doing here, you're doing a great work here in all of our hearts, just to deal with this unforgiveness, Lord. And I thank you that, you know, a couple years ago, you began to really show me. And Lord, I feel like lately, I must confess, I've gotten lazy in that area, you know, in this whole area. I've let the enemy kind of come back in, you know, and try to justify unforgiveness, you know, causing me to just say, oh, well, it's not as big as it really is. But no, it's, you know, Lord, forgive me for this. I confess this. It's a sin. Change my heart, Lord. Put a heart of flesh back in me. Yeah, take that old stony heart out and give me a love for every individual, Lord, especially my landlord. You know, help me to truly, truly let go of what they've done to me over the years, you know, and, you know, realize, you know, most of all that they're lost, you know, and I'm not to judge them, Lord. Help me, you know, regardless of what, I mean, what thoughts come to my mind, regardless, you know, of what happens from this time forth, Lord, help me to just remember that. Help me to just understand that, you know, we're not to judge these people. That's your job. You know, that's your doing. You're the one who deals with them, Lord. We're not the ones because they're not in the kingdom. So Lord, I thank you that today you really spoke to me. You said, you know, Joe, you've got unforgiveness towards these people, you know, and you got to deal with it. And Lord, I thank you for changing my heart. Thank you for changing all of our hearts, Lord, you know, concerning this, just the people in our lives that have disappointed us or have done us wrong. You know, Lord, help us to forgive them, but just like Jesus did on the cross, give us that compassion, Lord. You know, this had love when you said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You know, just I've experienced that at times, Lord, and I miss that. You know, bring that back into my heart. You know, just that brokenness when you see people, you know, lost people, totally undone in their sin and just bound up, you know, and doing the things that are just so natural to them, Lord, to give us, break our hearts, you know, if that's what it takes to, you know, with that love and that compassion, put that in their hearts to just be able to feel that way towards these people, because that's how you felt, you know, when the Pharisees and the others looked at you and mocked you, you just had nothing but love. You know, I have experienced that. And so I ask that you would, you know, that my brothers and sisters here could experience that as well, you know, for this lost and dying world around us, Lord, so that we would look at them differently. So I thank you for that, what you're going to do. Thank you for what you've already done for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Lord. You know, one thing that I've heard David say often, and I believe it too, he said, if you get offended, it's your fault. And he's so true. It's so true. If you do get offended, it's your fault. If you get, what's the other one? Well, all those things is your fault. We're dead. We're supposed to be dead. We're dead to self. We're dead to the world. And so, all right, Malcolm, go ahead. You got just a minute or two.
I just wanted to say, I'm feeling this more and more strongly, and that is that the people that, I mean, in a worldly way that have offended us, done things against us, completely unfair things, and said things that, and insinuated things that were, wait, am I muted?
Yeah. Now you're muted. Now you're all right. Unmuted.
All right. So I, if you think about this, those people may be entirely dependent on your prayers to make it into the kingdom and avoid a most miserable existence. If you think about the fact that you, even though they obviously don't appreciate that situation, that you're the person that the Lord can use to reach them through your prayers, I think it really changes. It can change your attitude toward them, because if we can see into eternity far enough to see what their future end would be without your prayers, I mean, this is scary stuff. And if we hold something against somebody who's, you know, it's easier for me to talk this way, because when push comes to shove, these thoughts can come up. But I think the Lord uses our prayers, and that can make a difference. And the Lord will tell us if it's too late to, or, you know, if he doesn't want to hear those prayers about that individual, like he's done with many other people. But I think in the meantime, it's our job to pray for people that come against us, because we may be their only hope. Mm-hmm. I mean, Jesus is their only hope, but God works through us.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead, George. You got just a minute or so. You just take as long as you want.
Just thinking that, like you said, a lot of times with any kind of unforgiveness, it's just a matter of standing up for self. And that when the devil comes knocking on the door, we got to let Jesus answer the door. And that we want power with God. And you think about the disciples that said, Lord, can we call down judgment, you know, rain down fire and brimstone on these people or whatever, and Jesus rebuked them or whatever. It's like we do actually have the power of life and death in our words and in our thoughts. And when we express, you know, whatever self wants to express is death. But if we let the Spirit of God express life through us, and what we do pray for those people that are offending us or whatever, using us wrongly, that it gives grace and adds life to their life. Like Malcolm's saying, it's I got mixed up a little bit, but just thinking about that lifeline of us being salt and light in the world, that if we get self out of the way, those rivers of living water can come through us. And I just think about my own situations a lot of times. I'm living through them right now, where even this morning I got a little attack, and I just prayed in tongues on the way to work, and God worked everything out. And I got a text, and I didn't answer it from self. I just left it alone, And through the day, God just worked everything out, and I didn't step beyond letting Jesus answer that door. And I just think about the power that God's going to put on us, that if we can restrain ourselves now and not unleash hell, that he'll let us unleash heaven on earth. And that's what I've been thinking about.
Amen. On page 15, I'm going to close with this. God promises to give grace to those who will humble themselves. You humble yourself, confess your sin, God sees that, and he is merciful. 1 John 1:7 says, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. And if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Father, I just thank you for giving us all the grace and mercy. It seems like it never ends, Father. We just thank you for that. We thank you, Father, for helping to humble us with these corrections sometimes and these things that come upon us. We see the light of the misdeeds that we have done against you, Lord. And we thank you for forgiving us and setting us back on that holy road, Lord. That road, that narrow road, because we all, every one of us, even those that are listening out there, Lord, we all want to please you and obey you, Lord, above and beyond anything else that comes up. Our flesh makes no difference. Our emotions makes no difference. Lord, what makes a difference is pleasing you. And when we absolutely surrender everything to you, then we're in your eyes as holy. And Lord, I just thank you for working on us and working through us these next couple of days until we meet again Thursday night, and that we'll come again to some more revelations, Lord, and we're peeling back all of this darkness out of our hearts and bringing out that shining new light, that lighthouse light that you want us to shine to the world. And I thank you for it, Father. I praise you for it. And I ask, Lord, that you work on all of our hearts these next couple of days to get in here and look and see what it is that the curse of unforgiveness has for us, even more so than what we came tonight. And tonight was a good night, Father. But I'm telling you, I thank you, Lord, for this teaching that'll help us and set us free. In Jesus' name, protect us, bless everybody, and we'll see y'all again Thursday night. Amen.
Michael?
Yes, Joe.
Can I talk to everybody just for 2 minutes after you stop the recording, please?
Okay. All right.